Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. And this is the point where I'm always, for years, have been saying right here on AM 1220, The Word. But of course, as of last week, we're also on Faith Talk Tampa. And so again, we welcome our Tampa, our Central Florida visitors with us tonight. We're based out of Northeast Ohio here in the Cleveland area. And I know a lot of people in Tampa are originally from this area too. So that's what makes it a good fit. But we're glad to be on Faith Talk Tampa in addition to The Word here in Cleveland. And we hope that we'll be a blessing to you tonight. We've got a special program planned that we're going to be giving out our phone numbers, but we're going to hold off on some of the calls for a little bit because I have a special guest in the studio right now. We're going to talk for a few minutes about something that's in the news and touch on that, and then we'll be taking your calls. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Looks like we've got some calls coming in, so we may get to some of the calls a little bit earlier as well. But let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight through the program. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. And again, help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And in all things, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, it's good to be with you here tonight. And I just want to, again, thank everybody that's been praying for us. Our church recently moved into its own facility after 13 years in the wilderness. We joke we were 13 years temporarily in a hotel meeting room, and it wasn't a bad 13 years, but boy, we ever glad to be in our own facility again, and it's been a real blessing. We had a dedication service today. We had a great turnout. And a friend of mine, David Eisminger, who pastored in Michigan most recently, and he's been involved in evangelism, helping with small churches. And he, a friend of our church for many years, he's the first person to preach in the last three locations our church has met, with the exception of me. So that was kind of nice. And but he was able to come up from the Pittsburgh area and delivered a great message for us and on the purpose of the church and the power of a place, which was kind of nice. And so we really had a great time of fellowship and some visitors and different things happening and a lot of great food. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we had a fantastic ice cream cake. So there seems to be somebody in the studio who's smiling right now, but my daughter made an ice cream cake for us, homemade, so it's kind of nice. All right, well, getting back to some other things, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and if you go there, you can find a variety of things. You can listen to past programs there. You can look at some of the materials and things that I've written, some articles, some booklets, and things like that. And there's a link to some other things there. And a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, if you're ever up here in the Akron, Cleveland area and you'd like to visit us. You can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield. And you can just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can follow the links to our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and find out all that information. And let's see what else. There was another couple of things I wanted to mention here. Another program coming up next week. Just to let you know what's coming up, Chris Long is going to be with us talking about the D-Day prayer addition to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's been a long time coming, and it looks like it's going to come to fruition this summer, and a very needed addition to the World War II Memorial. If you've ever been there, it is one of the most popular memorials there in Washington, D.C., and it's missing one of the most important things. There's absolutely no reference to God there, and this will put a reference to God there, and so we'll be talking about that in the beginning of the program next week. Also want to give a shout-out to our people who are serving in the United States military that are listening. Yesterday was Armed Forces Day, and of course Memorial Day is coming up at the end of the month, and then we've got obviously Veterans Day coming up in November. And I always remind people, Memorial Day is not Veterans Day, and really neither is Armed Forces Day. Armed Forces Day is to celebrate and salute and honor those who are serving our country in our country's military services. And then Memorial Day is a day to honor and remember those who gave their life in service to our country through the military services. And then we have Veterans Day for people like me in November 11th to remember and honor those who have served our country. So we've got 3 days, one for active duty and reservists, another one for those that gave their life, and another one for those who have served. And so those 3 days, so I'd like to shout out to the military that are listening. I know we get a number of them down in the Tampa Bay area, so I appreciate your service. All right, well, we're going to touch on something here, a shocking statistic that came out, and this is why I'm joined with my friend Pastor John Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and we were talking about this. He hosts a program before ours on Friday afternoon here on AM 1220, The Word, and so we kind of trade off sometimes and fill in for each other on our Friday programs, or occasionally we do a joint program. But I saw this headline here called, and the one headline is, Barna Study Exposes Great Weakness in the Church. 62% of pastors lack a biblical worldview. And that's just a shocking statistic. Nearly two-thirds of pastors in America do not have a biblical worldview. And so I thought I need to get one of those pastors on. No, I pick on Brother Lutz here. But Brother Lutz here, he comes from a background where I think he's well-equipped to talk about this himself. And he stands up for the Word of God and on the radio and at church. And Pastor John Lutz, thank you for coming on the program with us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a joy. I'm still not sure where the ice cream cake is. That was my promise to come over, but we'll figure that out later. But
I saved a piece for you, and it didn't make it home. Well, it did, but not the way you like.
No, it's a great joy, and thanks for letting me come on. And you know, you and I have talked about this quite a lot over the last several years, and not that we need validation for what we talk about and preach, but when you have a study like this come out and it validates the last 3 or 4 years of your work, you're saying, well, this is absolutely where we're at. And it really, if you want to know what's wrong with America, you can trace it right back to here.
Absolutely, because, you know, as the pulpit goes, the pew goes, right, as they say. And the reason that Christians, and there's been some statistics that have come out recently, shocking statistics on the lack of biblical literacy and the lack of a biblical worldview amongst Christians and amongst Christian parents who should be instructing. After all, remember, the Bible says to instruct these biblical truths to your children. And when you see parents and church members that don't have these biblical worldviews, they pick and choose what they like out of the Bible, and they reject what they don't like, and they make themselves the arbitrator of truth. And you wonder how that happens. Well, now this poll showing that the vast majority of pastors in America don't have a biblical worldview themselves, it's not surprising that the people in the pew don't either, is it?
It's not, and it's sinful, certainly. I mean, if I'm looking for a church, I mean, the first thing I assume that the guy standing behind the pulpit has a biblical worldview. I mean, that is just unfortunately, as we see, it's just a basic assumption that you have. I'm going to go there, and it's going to be a biblical worldview. But as God has told us in the Scriptures clearly, you know, Pastor Al, it's 2 Timothy. You're familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 1 mm-hmm. at the very end, where it talks about knowing this first, that no Scripture is given any private interpretation. And then it talks about, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then it goes right into chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Is this not the culmination, and at least down the road, of the undermining of the Word of God in the pulpits of America? The higher criticisms, the getting away, using the different versions, bringing the confusion in. I mean, this is the culmination. It shows right here. You know, one of the big thing today is executive pastors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, CEOs
in our large mega churches. Yeah,
4%.
And they're the lowest.
That's
percent.
That's the lowest that percent. 4%. I remember there was a man who wrote an article about what's going on with church attendance. And one of these executive pastors of these mega churches wrote a rebuttal, and he says, that's your problem. The whole premise of your argument's wrong. We don't worry about membership anymore. It's just about numbers. And I thought, well, there's your problem right there. There's no biblical sense of pastors leading the flock the way God wants them to. And, you know, there's a lot of condemnation in the Bible for pastors like this.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look at these executive pastors in these large mega churches, and you don't have a title executive pastor, do you?
Nor do I have a mega church, no.
Are you even senior? No. I'm more senior, so I guess. No, but I'm older. But an executive pastor in these mega churches is supposedly setting the direction of the church.
Yeah.
Supposedly setting the goals and defining the mission of the church. A lot of churches, you know, every year they define a mission statement.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think that if only 4%, that means 96% of executive pastors do not have a biblical worldview, and they're setting the goals, setting the directions, defining the mission statement for these churches that are supposedly great works of God.
Yeah.
And they're led by people who, the vast majority of them, do not even apparently believe the Word of God, which is our book. You know, Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, if they agree with that, if they agree not with these things, there's no light in them. What does that say about the direction of these churches?
Yeah, it again, the pulpits, you said pulpits reflect in the pew. And I always say, and I believe this is biblical too, is the governments of the communities we live in are always reflective
of
the
pulpits.
So there are so many parallels. And again, this is just, I'll be honest, Pastor, when you first gave me this and we were going to talk about this, like I even have trouble processing this.
Yes.
Like I'm sitting there like, this can't be true. Mm-hmm. Like 4% of executive pastors. But that's what the facts bore out during mm-hmm. during the questions and the, I know they don't just come out and ask. Do you have a, because I suppose if you went to these pastors in and out just point blank, do you have a biblical worldview? Well, their worldview is in their mind considered biblical,
mm-hmm.
right? But it doesn't line up with the Bible. But they're skewed. So I hear these numbers, and you know, again, I know they say numbers don't lie, but people can lie about the numbers. But Barna has no reason to lie about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so unusual that I've preached on it. Jude, you've preached on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've studied it. We've gone through it. But I didn't think it was as bad.
Well, yeah, it's almost incomprehensible when you see it.
Yeah.
I would have thought looking at this that we'd have seen something, you know, maybe closer to 50-50 or maybe slightly less than 50% do not have a biblical worldview. I wouldn't have imagined it would have been over 50%.
Yeah.
Even from a pessimistic standpoint, sure. But to find out it's nearly two-thirds, over 60%, is just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And it really does explain the problem with our culture today, the problem with our political realm today. You know, people wonder how these politicians can stand up there and on the one hand, demand that we can kill innocent babies, not just before they're born, but even calling for them to be killed after they're born and still call that abortion. And then they go to church. And
well, how about Reverend Warnock, you know, who's a senator now?
Yeah, and he closed that prayer, I think it was, remember when he said, amen and
a woman.
And a woman.
I don't know if it was
absolutely
him or not,
ridiculous.
But he's absolutely for all of these social
things. Yes.
And there he is. there's a pastor right there who is leading his flock and always gets into this chicken and egg theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Who's more at fault here, the pastor or the many that shall follow their pernicious ways? You've got the people. Why are the people so ignorant? I say that respectfully, I guess, in allowing these pastors to continue to lead these so-called churches. Why are they not checking them? Why are they? They've got nothing. Well, because they've been convinced now. Well, we don't even have God's word, Which Bible?
Right.
Which it's in the originals. Nobody has it, so it gives them an out. Because in this version it says this, and it just creates such a culture of confusion and compromise. And here you go. I mean, it starts at the top.
Well, and Paul said this back in Acts chapter 20. And he was speaking with a number of pastors, and he was preparing them for what was going to happen. This is in the first century. And as he's talking to the pastors, he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Yeah.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, that's a tremendous responsibility that a pastor has.
Yeah.
And then he makes this statement in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, this is in the first century.
Yeah.
And we have seen this working. I read an article or something many years ago, and they talked about thought bombs, which is an interesting term. We understand what happens when a bomb goes off. Explosion occurs. And it causes disorder, and it causes disruption, and it causes death, and it causes all kinds of negative things to happen. And the idea of thought bombs were things that Satan has essentially put into people's minds or encouraged them down a path, and they've published something that has impacted our society, our world, like a bomb going off. And one of them, for instance, was Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
And also, I was trying to think of the guy, the father of I want to say, not Lamarck, has another evolutionist. It's just slipping my mind right now. Father of modern geology. He was actually an attorney. But anyway, he came up with this idea of deep time, that the world has to be older than what the Bible suggests. And then that allowed Darwin to be able to drop his bomb on evolution. Now, evolution had been talked about for centuries, the idea. It went back to the Greeks, Aristotle, Plato. They all talked about variations on it. And Darwin was not the only one of his age or his day to be talking about it. It's just that he was the one that was used to popularize it.
Yeah.
That exploded on the world, and it affected churches. All of a sudden, godly people were faced with what seemed like insurmountable evidence. And how do we process this? There was a lot of destruction, a lot of things that took place. That was a thought bomb. And then in a similar time frame, you had another guy by the name of Karl Marx come on the scene, and he exploded another thought bomb. And you had these different people. The other guy, John Dewey, who exploded another thought bomb, destroying the education system of our country and other countries, and so on and so forth. We've seen these things go off, and now we've reached a point where it's not just grievous wolves entering in among us, but it's what Paul said in 2 Timothy, and you were talking about Paul earlier, where he said in the last days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he goes on to talk about false teachers rising for time's sake. I'm not going to read through the whole thing.
Right.
And he goes into chapter 4, and he charges Timothy to preach the word of God, and he says in chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I think what we're seeing in this shocking poll of nearly two-thirds of America's pastors not having a biblical worldview, and only 4% of executive pastors of these megachurches having a worldview, and children's pastors.
I was just going to say, over the children's pastors.
Like only 12% of them have a worldview. These are the people instructing children, and if your basic worldview, you come to it by about the age of 13, who's influencing it? Maybe this explains why they grow up and become these types of pastors, the ones that go into the ministry.
Yeah, and the other thing in regards to the children's pastor, one of the things that they note in the article is that it doesn't mean that that these pastors are adopting like a woke position, mm-hmm. but it's more they called it a holistic type of mixture, mm-hmm. where a synergism or something they called it, I forget what it was, syncretism. And it was, the mixture of just not straight Bible stuff, just worldly stuff.
Just
and
mixing that, enough in to pollute.
And being lukewarm.
Yeah. The really Laodicean churches, which according to Revelation, in John's vision of the seven churches in Revelation, I believe that those seven churches, while they were actual churches in John's day, they were seven churches that God selected for these messages to, because they represented seven, prophetic stages in what would happen in churches and to Christians in the time from the cross to the time of the catching away of the believers. Yeah. And we're in that last stage of Laodicean stage where Jesus is not even in the church. He's knocking, outside knocking, hoping for somebody to let him in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening with a lot of these churches.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly on that. And I think this bears witness to those very truths that we talk about so often. And why do we talk about it? It's a warning.
Yeah.
It's a warning to wake up. Like Paul says to the Romans, he says, it's now high time. You know, our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. It's high time to awake.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that something like this, there's a lot of good things, Pastor Al, I think, that are happening in our country where people are waking up to some things. And I guess what we can hope is that, you know, some people, those are just preachers, that's that denomination, they're just, you know, they're jealous of not having the same size. Maybe they'll look at something like this and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And maybe I need to get into my Bible. Maybe mm-hmm. I need to start looking. And you know, really, that's all God wants is somebody to seek after truth.
Yes.
And if they seek after truth, they will find the truth. Jesus is that truth, and God will get them to thy word is truth, and he'll get them to that so that can get them straightened out. And hopefully something like this will wake some people up, because I think we're in this, a lot of pastors, I think many that are probably reflected in this study, it's almost like idolization. It's a name recognition. Mm-hmm. Oh, I go to so and so's church. I go to this guy's, you know, big name church. And the danger of that is I'm following someone because they're famous.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're right.
Remember what Paul said, follow me what? Because I'm famous, right? Because I'm the famous apostle.
Right.
No, he said, follow me as what I follow Christ.
That's right, yeah.
I heard a big name preacher years gone by, he's with the Lord, knows better now, who claimed that the best form of leadership, I was at a meeting in Michigan, and he was preaching in a church in the area, and the pastor where I was at said, let's go hear this guy. And he was preaching on church leadership. And he said, what do you think the greatest form of leadership was? And somebody brought that up about Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. He said, well, that's not the best form of leadership in the church. And I thought, man, what could be better than that? I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to know.
Right.
He said, the best form of leadership is when people follow you because you're the pastor. And I thought, now that's heresy.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
not Bible.
Yeah.
That's worshiping a man, not Christ.
That's right.
Following a man more than you follow Christ. I tell people, follow me as I follow Christ, because if you're following the Word of God and I depart from the Word of God, you don't follow me, you follow Christ. Hopefully, I'll look and say, hey, wait a minute, why aren't you following me? And then I'll get back on the right track. This is checks and balances.
Absolutely.
And I want somebody to tell me if I've gone astray.
Yeah.
And I think any decent pastor would say that.
That's right. And they're not intimidated when somebody comes up and says, you know, we say things erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no malintention or anything in it. I mean, even in the last couple of months, I've had people come up and say, preacher, do you know you said this? I'm like, what did I say? And, you know, you kind of get revved up and going sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you know.
And you misspeak. You're thinking ahead. And you maybe give a scripture that reference that you're going to get to, but you're actually talking about something else.
Absolutely. Or you just mess something up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just happens.
Yeah, and that's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're not talking about people who make honest mistakes, people who get kind of caught up and maybe talk a little faster than what they're processing, and they kind of get their you know, words tongue-tied a little bit. We're talking about people who actually have a worldview that's contrary to the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And I know we're coming up on the end of the half hour here, and in the next half hour, we're going to open up the phone lines. The number is 888-677-9673. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al and with my guest in the studio tonight, Pastor John Lutz. And we are talking about these shocking statistics about how so few pastors in America have a biblical worldview. But we're going to open up to whatever topic in the next half hour, but I just want to say something before we run up out of time in this half hour. You know, we talk about this, and we see the terrible state that we're in, but I do thank God that He has a remnant of pastors that are out there, and there are some out there, and a rare moment, I'll compliment you. I know it's a rare moment.
Take your time. Come on.
But, you know, I am glad that when I tell somebody to listen to you on the radio, that I have confidence that they're going to hear doctrine, not Pastor Lutz's doctrine, but Bible doctrine.
Amen.
And there's some other pastors and some people that we know that are on the radio and other people that you can see them on the internet. And we're maybe not everything 100% will we agree in all the little details, but we know that overall, that person has a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
They want to see people saved. They know people need to be saved, and they're going to stand on the Bible, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And there are those pastors out there. And if your pastor, if you're listening and your pastor is one of those pastors, or if you are a pastor listening and you're one of those pastors, well, God bless you. We need to pray for each other.
Yeah.
And you need to hold your pastor up in prayer. And because the attacks are out there, the devil is attacking. He uses all kinds of attacks to get a pastor to compromise, doesn't he?
He sure does. I mean, everything, you go through the Bible, he has duplicate of all the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his own churches. He's got his own ministers. He's got his own books, his own word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got all of it there, his own table, his own communion table. I mean, so everything he does is to confuse people, and it doesn't take much—a little leaven, just leavens
leaven
the whole lump.
Yeah,
and just a little false doctrine gets in there, and boy, there's no telling. And now you get a study here that says the basis. You wonder, well, what are these guys preaching on? If they're not getting their messages out of the Word of God, they're not starting from that point. Mm-hmm. Then what are they really doing?
Yeah. Well, we need to pray for America. We need to pray for America's churches. We need to pray for America's pastors. that God will raise up a crop of pastors in this country with some spiritual backbone. Yeah. Well, Pastor Lutz, thank you for being with us, and you can sit in with us in the next half hour and answer questions if you like. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And our toll-free number, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we got a lot of callers right now, so we're going to work through them. But just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we're certainly brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can find a link to that at livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, since our phone lines are jammed up right now, we're going to jump into the phone calls here, and we'll try to move reasonably quickly through them, I guess. We'll see how we do. And also, we still have in the studio with us Pastor John Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And he joined me in the last half hour. If you heard that, we were talking about the shocking statistic of only, 62% of America's pastors not having a biblical worldview absolutely shocking. And really 96% of CEO pastors, the executive pastors of the mega churches, only 4% have a biblical worldview. 96% do not. What a sad commentary on our churches today.
Sure,
but we don't have to talk about just that. We spent the last half hour on that subject. And we have Mary Grace calling in right now. And welcome to the program tonight.
Very appreciative, and that's what I was going to ask you to pray for, all the apostate churches.
Yeah, and we do. We need revival, don't we?
I've been in revival, I think, since the beginning of this year, and maybe even earlier. I'm a prayer warrior, but I'm asking you, because at this egregious time, from the 22nd to the 28th, they're meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, with Henry Kissinger, our power and energy guy. And I'm not playing with them. They're evil, and it's evil. They want power. So everybody should be praying like they've never prayed before. And I'll give you the scripture. It's Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Amen.
The Lord says, my people who are called by my name. Oh, Lord God, I'm telling you, Pastor, I've been praying night and day for all the babies. They are so off on the numbers. When I did it in 2002, we would all be silent here in America for 7 years, 1 second per child. And I'm telling you the truth. I do not lie. God never, he hates liars. And the point is, I've called every senator, congressman all across this nation, and even the White House, this administration. I will not live by lies, and I told them so. This is wrong. You get it? We're not playing this. This is our life, and it's life abundantly, and you will not ignore or insult a living God and think you are not going to have a problem. God, well, help them all. I'm telling you.
And Mary Grace, we need more people that are fired up for the cause of Christ, don't we? So I certainly appreciate what you're doing as a prayer warrior, and we got a number of calls, so I'm going to have to keep going here tonight, but I hope people are encouraged to continue to pray. The Bible says we need to be salt and light in the world around us, and I believe that when Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, that's what we're seeing happening here with statistics like we've been talking about in the abortion, Holocaust, and things. But the mystery of iniquity is being hindered, the Bible says. And I believe it's the Spirit of God that's doing it, working through his people. And if we don't make ourselves available, who's going to do it? It's up to us, isn't it?
It sure is. And real quick, Pastor, on that, with the mystery of iniquity, one of the first things to see that it's working is the apostasy. What Mary mentioned is that great apostasy. And,
yes.
And again, going back to our discussion earlier, where are these pastors at? They're not even holding a biblical worldview.
Absolutely.
So their whole basis of where they're beginning is off. So,
well, and they're not being the salt and light that they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so one of these days, the Lord's going to call us to be with him, and the mystery of iniquity is going to have full sway. It's going to run its course.
Yep.
But we know the end of the book, and we know what
Hallelujah.
Happens. God wins.
Amen.
And we want to be on the winning side. The
That's
Lord's
right.
side is the winning side.
That's
You're listening
right.
to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy waiting patiently for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. Boy, that Mary Grace, she is a real actress.
She's fired up.
Yeah. Now, my question or comment is regarding, seems like I heard, I don't know if I have, this, I know it was Elon Musk and some other billionaire, Jeff Bezos, who went to the White House to complain about the economic situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that they were, well, I'm questioning Elon Musk because he doesn't seem to fit the pattern of other billionaires. But Jeff Bezos, isn't he a globalist in the?
I believe so.
Administration in the current administration, they're definitely globalists. I mean, they're
absolutely
they're not nationalists. So it seemed a little strange to me, since Jeff Bezos is a globalist, why would he go to the White House when they're globalists too to complain about the financial situation?
He may not be fully on board with everything. He may be seeing some of his bottom line affected. And so that could be part of it. But Elon Musk is an interesting person. I have seen several postings online recent weeks of people asking for prayer for Elon Musk and saying that they're praying. And our church has felt led to pray for him for quite some time now. And I really believe that people aren't going to get saved unless you pray for them. And it's good to pray for people specifically. And I encourage people to pray for him. He seems to be being pushed out by the globalists in some senses.
Yeah, but he's so unique because he has high ideals. You know, like mm-hmm. he really, really wants to have freedom of speech, and he really seems yeah. to care about the public. He wants to make a change
yeah.
worldwide. I just think he's so fascinating. I admire him so much. Well, taking so much heat. I mean,
yeah.
criticizing.
Well, interesting things are happening out there, Nancy, and we need to be in prayer, don't we? So,
yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Nancy. We got a jammed up switchboard here today, so I'm going to move on, and we're trying to catch everybody kind of quick to get everybody on in the next 20 minutes or 15, 20 minutes. We've got Terry waiting patiently, calling from the great north of Canada. Welcome, Terry.
How you doing, Pastor Al?
I'm doing well. God bless. Pastor, good to have you.
And Pastor Lutz.
Hello there.
I wasn't going to bring this up today, but Pastor Lutz, you mentioned something about apostasy. I've heard people teach that apostasy is believers leaving the church and serving God, or serving another God, or serving the world.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's apostasy that's absolutely happening in from churches that people are leaving, and they're, you know, Peter talks about the pernicious ways of the false teachers, and you know, not everybody that goes away is an unsaved person. Mm-hmm. That if you don't use the Bible as your barometer and your standard of truth, you know, you can easily find yourself getting to a point of really utter abandonment. And that's apostasy is really getting to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely, it could happen in a church. We're watching churches change doctrines and change positions.
Absolutely.
And absolutely, I think it fits right along with, I remember preaching several months ago, that very topic, don't let the mystery of iniquity work on you. And one of them was getting you to abandon the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is that one, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, really starting to make church not as important as what it was, will lead to that.
Well, and certainly the COVID lockdowns and everything has done more in recent years than I think just about anything else
yeah.
to keep people from forsaking together, and causing people, even people who claim to be born again Christians, to act contrary to the Word of God. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so
can they lose their salvation?
Well, you just brought up a whole big subject right there, which we'll touch on the quick.
Let me answer that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, no.
If you're truly saved, no, you cannot lose salvation.
And again, as we brought up before, in fact, we just touched on this in church, and I got a number of callers calling in, but let me just hit a passage over here. My favorite verse in relation to this, and I'll just hit it here real quick, and we'll do a deep dive into the Greek on this. How's that sound? John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10, and Jesus says, starting in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And if you go into the Greek and you do a deep dive into the Greek phrase that's translated eternal life, you know what you find out it means? Eternal life. That's what it means. It means eternal life. What is yeah. eternal? It's without end.
That's right.
And then he says, he gave us eternal life. If you could lose your salvation, you were not given eternal
right.
life. You were only given the possibility of it. Therefore, Jesus would be a liar, and Jesus, as God in the flesh, cannot lie. Then he also said, they shall never perish. Now, I know that phrase is very vague and ambiguous, never perish. So you do a deep dive in the Greek on that phrase, and you know what you come to? You'll never perish. That's what it means. Never perish. That's what the Greek tells you.
I didn't know you were a Greek scholar.
I learned this from Bruce Musselman.
And
so then when you look at that, if you could lose your salvation, then you would perish. And then again, Jesus would be a liar. He'd fail to keep his promises because you perish. And he said, you'd never perish. And then he said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And again, I know that's a difficult statement to understand, but we're in his hand. To get out of his hand, you or somebody else has to pluck you out of his hand. People say, well, you can crawl out on your own. No, you cannot overcome God and crawl out on your own. Nobody's going to pluck you out. If that were the case, Jesus again would have lied. If you could lose your salvation, Jesus would have just lied three times there. People say, well, this is true as long as you're in Christ. Well, the last part, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, says you're in Christ, you aren't getting out of him.
Yeah.
Well, if you tolerate sin, what part of your sin nature, or I'm sorry, what part of your sin was not forgiven at the cross, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to throw one out real quick, Brother
Al.
Hebrews chapter 10 also says this, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
So somebody can clearly make a decision based upon the flesh and draw back.
Right.
But he cannot ever get himself to separate himself from the love of Christ.
If
he's truly saved, absolutely.
And Terry, just an interesting aside here, and we are getting to our callers after this, had a question posed by somebody. What about if somebody gets dementia, Alzheimer's, and in the course of the disease, they get confused about salvation, maybe deny Christ? Does that mean because of a disease that you have no control over, you'd lose your salvation?
Yeah.
How unfair.
Yeah.
God gave us eternal life. He said we would never perish, and in his hand, nobody's going to pluck us out,
not even
yourself. But thanks for that. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Good evening. We're busy, which is good to be.
I had a question about John chapter 6, verses 52 to 54.
John chapter 6, verses, what was it, 52?
52 to 54.
Right.
All right, here we are.
Jesus says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
Right. And goes on to define this a little bit more. He says, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And then he continues. We put things in context. He says in verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And so people had a difficult time with that. In fact, in verse 60, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And he goes on to give us, and I know we're going quickly here. In verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, and here's the key in verse 63, the end of verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yep.
And he's telling us that what he is saying is a spiritual truth. We're not literally eating his flesh and literally drinking his blood. In first place, that would be against God's law.
That's right.
Cannibalism and the consumption of blood is contrary to God's law. It's against God's law. So he's not saying we had to literally do that, but when we put our faith in Christ, we are spiritually consuming it's his body that was shed for us. When we do the Lord's Supper, we hold up the unleavened bread that we use. It doesn't become the body of Christ.
Right.
It isn't indwelled by Christ. It is a representation. We do this, as Paul said, in remembrance of Christ. Even Jesus held up the loaf of bread at the Last Supper, and he said, this is my body, and he's holding bread. So obviously,
right,
he's speaking metaphorically.
That's right.
Same thing with the cup. This is my blood. So when we put Scripture in context with Scripture, we know that he's giving a spiritual truth. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. Pastor Lutz?
Well, you hit it right on the head. The only other thing
I just say...
Oh, yes.
Can I just say that I was listening to the Catholic Channel today, and they said that the apostles believed in transubstantiation.
And that's not in the Bible.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not
true.
False teaching.
Yeah.
Pastor Lutz, you said something earlier about the devil giving just enough truth and then bringing in false doctrine. Christianity in the first century was growing by leaps and bounds. It was growing in the second century by leaps and bounds. The devil knew he had to blunt the message, and in the fourth century, he succeeded in blunting the message of Christianity through the creation of the Roman Catholic Church.
That's right, yeah.
The Roman Catholic Church is not the original church. It didn't come into being until the fourth century, and they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. When they claim that it's a sin, the sin of presumption, to believe that you're going to heaven and know that you're going to heaven, when the Bible says these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's not a sin to know that you have eternal life. It's believing the Bible. And so we go back to the Bible take a false form of Christianity.
Can I ask then what would be the purpose of the bread and the wine if it wasn't his flesh and blood?
Well, Jesus said it perfectly.
Symbolic. It's purely symbolic.
This do in remembrance.
He says as often as you do this, you remember the Lord's body. It says this in 1 Corinthians 11. And the whole purpose of that is for the discipline and the purity of the disciple. Mm-hmm. You have baptism, which keeps the purity of the church doctrinally, but the Lord's Supper is to help keep the purity of the disciple. So he does it in remembrance. The church does it in remembrance symbolically. And again, Pastor, I would mention, as the Lord is literally standing there holding bread and holding a cup, which is not his body and not his blood. I heard one preacher say one time, he didn't literally put out his arm and say, here, take a bite, because this is, you know, my flesh. It is purely symbolic with that.
It's an object lesson.
It's absolutely, is what the Christ did often.
Yeah. So
don't you have to partake of it to have eternal life?
No.
Well, we do spiritually because we partake in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross.
But not the ordinance.
But not
the ordinance.
The ordinance we're not, right. The ordinance only pictures the body of Christ that he sacrificed on the cross, the blood that he shed on the cross. It's just a picture of remembrance. But, John, we got a couple more callers and run out of time. We'll have to pick this up another time. But it's pretty clear in the Scripture. I encourage people to read the Scripture. We've got Tom calling in tonight. Tom, welcome to the program.
Yeah, maybe we ought to start asking people, what don't they understand about never?
That word never is kind of vague, I know. It's hard. It's a hard word. It's got how many syllables in it? But
Getting back to your topic, though, I was sitting here reflecting, and I'm thinking 62%, that doesn't surprise me. I know it's astonishing. But it really doesn't surprise me, because after being on this earth almost 7 decades now, I'm looking around and I'm seeing drastic changes in the last 50 years of my life.
Oh, and just in the last few years.
And I got to say, if nearly 2/3 of the pulpit, and I don't care what denomination you want to choose, or, you know, even evangelical churches and everything else, some of them have gone astray. But
yes.
The Lord promised that in the end times that the love of many would grow cold and there would be a falling away. Now, the falling away I see is not real believers necessarily. It's professors. And I think we have a lot of religious people today that are unsaved.
That's a good point.
And that's the reflection on the pulpit, because years ago when I was a little kid, there was such a thing as deacons and overseers in the church. And if they got a hold of a bad minister that was liberal or wasn't preaching the true word of God, they would get him out.
Well, that's part of the checks and balances that God put into the system, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think we're seeing a greater reflection on the unfaithfulness, the unbelief that's going on in America.
Well, and remember in Jeremiah when he talked about the corruption of the priests and the preachers and all, and then remember what he said, and my people love to have it so. Mm. What an indictment. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it boils down to unless we're born again by the Spirit of God, we don't have salvation. Salvation
Absolutely.
Is of the Lord.
That's right.
People have to get it out of their mind that we do anything
That's
except
right.
believe mm-hmm. and repent.
Yeah,
That's
amen.
All the Lord requires of us, believe and repent.
That's mm-hmm. right. Amen.
And Tom, I think you brought a good point there, which you know helps explain this extraordinarily high number of people who don't have a biblical worldview in the pulpits of America's churches. Good many of them right. probably are not saved.
That's right. And I think Jude tells us that. Jude says they're sensual, having not the Spirit.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think they understand the power of the cross, number one.
Right.
They don't understand the power of the shed blood of Christ. And
that's
that,
right.
That blood is holy, precious blood. And I don't even think people have a conception anymore of what the holiness of God is.
Yeah. You're right.
That's
right.
Yeah. And it's a sad commentary in the day in which we live. So.
Amen. Good show, gentlemen, and God bless you both.
Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call tonight, and we're quickly running out of time. We'll try and get as many on as we can here. We've got Jeremiah calling in tonight. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Oh, good show, Pastor Al. Hello, Pastor Love.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeremiah.
Yeah, we got less than 2 minutes.
Just got to say, you know, Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night, it says in the Scripture. We don't know when, we don't know how, where, when, what time, but got to look up.
Well, and those that know Christ as their Savior, we're not going to miss that call because he's coming for his own, and he knows where we're at. He knows our address. He'll catch us up to be with him in the air, as the Bible says, and it's Amen. An exciting time. Appreciate that, Jeremiah. We're going to have to let you go. We're running out of time, and let's see. We got about a minute left, I believe. Frank, we can get you on long enough to just say something real quick, but thanks for waiting, Frank.
Yeah, I'm not here to judge all the churches. That's God's job, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, if you have discernment, discern the times, the love of many will wax cold.
Amen. That's right.
You know, and there are many fine, wonderful ministries out there.
That's right. And we need to pray for them and support them, don't we? Hey, Frank, thanks for that input to send us out. Pastor Lutz, thank you for being on with us tonight. Appreciate
that. Thank you, Pastor Al. Thanks for letting me come on. I appreciate it.
And I do want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Thank you to our callers tonight. Join us again next week. We're going to be talking about the D-Day Prayer Project in Washington, D.C., the World War II Memorial. And have a great week. God bless. Join us next week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.